Good morning, I'm Blake Switzer, lead pastor, and I want to ask you a question to start out with. It's an important one. Are you a good listener? I hear some groans here. Anybody getting elbowed maybe by your friend next to you or spouse or kid or somebody? That's a big question, right? Are you a good listener? The answer for some of you is yes. Some of you are really good listeners. I mean, you lock in, you focus. When somebody's talking to you, you're all there, totally present with them. If I were to answer that question, I probably should ask my wife the answer to that question. Here would be my answer. Am I a good listener? The answer is it depends. It depends. If I'm in a hurry, not as much of a good listener. If I am distracted by something or my mind is, you know, on something else, maybe not such a good listener. When I'm trying to build my case while the other person is making theirs, I'm not such a good listener. When I think I already know what they're going to say and they're going on with what I perceive as unnecessary details, I'm not such a good listener. But when I'm focused on listening, if somebody comes to me and, you know, wants to talk about something, well, I can be a good listener, right? When I know that that's my role in a setting where somebody else is teaching or has some expertise, I'm a pretty good listener. I think what it boils down to is it depends on my mindset, right? Isn't that true for us when it comes to being a good listener? There are certain contexts where we just prepare ourselves to be good listeners, and there are others that maybe we're not as well prepared. So here's my question for you again. Are you a good listener when it comes to prayer? When you think about praying, do you listen well? Do you listen to God? And what does that even mean, you know, to listen to God? Does that mean you're going to hear an audible voice coming from the back of the room somewhere? Is God going to write something for you in the sky? Is he going to send you a text? Like, what do we mean when we're talking about listening to God? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about some practical ways that we can go about enhancing our ability to hear from God. I just wonder if anybody else, when it comes to prayer, falls into the trap that I sometimes do, and that is the thought that prayer is about me talking to God. And that's part of it. God is, as a father, he wants to hear from his children. He cares about us. He wants us to pour our hearts out to him. He wants us to bring requests to him. He tells us to do that in Scripture. As we talked about here recently, we can even pray prayers of lament. We can say, this is what is heavy on my heart. I mean, we can bring everything to God. But have you ever been in a relationship with somebody where communication only goes one way? That doesn't make for a very healthy relationship, does it? A healthy relationship requires two-way communication. Prayer is the same way. And so I want to encourage us today to be more intentional about listening to God and even viewing that as a form of prayer, because that's what prayer is, right? Prayer is communicating with God. It's not about, you know, bowing your head and closing your eyes and saying certain words. It's just communication with, even communion with God. Our story today is going to come from 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you have a Bible and want to begin to find that, you can start turning there. But let me give you a little background. We're going to read about Samuel. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Samuel's mother. Her name was Hannah. Bible tells us that after she married her husband, she was barren for many years. She desperately wanted to have children, but she was not able to. And when she would go to the temple and she would pray, she would pour her heart out to God and just weep before God and just begged God for a child, for a son. And she said, God, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him back to you. And God did. God opened her womb. She gave birth to this son after Hannah, his mother, had weaned him. She takes him to the house of the Lord and gives him to Eli the priest. And that's the context of what we're going to read about here starting in chapter 3. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. You called me. And then it says, but Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. So the beginning of this passage, verse 1, says, in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Now let me just remind you that in this time they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have their written records of God's word as we do now. And they relied on God to send messages through his prophets. Or perhaps to give them visions so that he would communicate with them in that way. But it says that didn't happen very often. So young Samuel was not used to hearing the voice of God, and he didn't recognize it. When God spoke to him, he didn't know what he was hearing. It's very logical. He got up and went to Eli. That's probably what I would have done too. You called me. No, it was God calling him. He just didn't recognize it. So if we're going to learn to listen to God, we have to start here, and that is that we must learn to recognize God's voice. We can't listen if we don't know it's God when he's speaking, right? We need to know that. Now, thankfully, the word of the Lord is not rare today as it was back then. We have the Bible. Most of us probably have physical copies of the Bible in our homes. You probably have, if you don't have, you ought to download a Bible app on your phone. I mean, we have access to God's word. And this is the primary way that God speaks to us, is through his word. So the word of the Lord is not rare. But at the same time, there's a lot of other voices out there that sound like the word of the Lord, but aren't. They sound spiritual. And please understand that just because someone speaks in God's name or uses God's name in some way, it doesn't mean that they're actually speaking on behalf of God. So we need to learn to recognize the difference, right? How do we distinguish between what God is truly saying and what may not be God speaking? The answer is we got to have a standard, right? That's what Scripture does for us. It gives us a standard to say, is this of God or is it not? Now, let's just say that I were to have an argument with you and I look at my watch and I were to say, right now it is 10:13. That's what my watch says, 10:13. And you look down, you're like, no, it's 10:11. I say, no, it's 10:13. No, it's 10:11. We could go back and forth about who's right, about what time it is, right? How do we know? How do we settle that argument? Well, there is an official time. The U.S. Naval Observatory has a set of atomic clocks that record America's time. So there is a standard. We could go to the standard and find out who's right. Nowadays, most of our watches and computers and things like that are already tied to that standard, so it doesn't create quite as much confusion. But if I had a watch that says it's 10:13 and the official time is 10:11, that doesn't make my watch correct. It doesn't mean this is just my version of the truth. Either it's 10:11 or it's 10:13, but it can't be both, right? We have a standard. And the way that we determine the first thing that we do when we're saying, okay, is this voice of God? And by the way, have you ever asked that question? You hear something, you're like, is this God? You know, is God speaking to me about this? How do I really know? Step number one is we open Scripture. Now, it might not speak exactly to that specific issue, But here's what it does when we spend time in God's Word. One, it helps us get used to the way God speaks, you know, so that we're kind of recognizing what seems like it's in alignment with the voice of God. And it helps us understand biblical principles, because if we think we hear something, but it is contradictory to what God has told us, then we know that's not of God. And that settles it pretty simply. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand on this question, but how many of you are seeking to hear from God in a particular area of your life right now? You're praying, God, speak to me, help me hear your voice, okay? And if your answer is yes, I want to ask you a second question. How much time are you spending in His Word? Because I just tell you, it's ludicrous for us to say we want to hear from God and not listen to what He has already told us. You want to hear from God? Get used to His voice by knowing Scripture as much as you can, because that's how we learn how He speaks to us. Now, when something is laid out in black and white, that's pretty simple, right? But there are other times where maybe you're trying to make a decision, and it's a very specific decision, and the Bible's obviously not going to address that very specific issue. So we look for principles, but then there is something beyond this, and that is that we can ask God to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. Let me back up just a little bit and define what we're talking about. What we know from the Bible is that God reveals Himself as one God, but in three persons. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They all are equally God. They have different roles. They are different persons, one God, one essence. The Holy Spirit, we're told, part of His role in John 16:13, so this is God the Son, Jesus, speaking about God the Spirit. And He says that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit does guide us into truth. One of the ways that He does that is by giving us insight into Scripture. So whenever we're reading the Bible, we should also be praying, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Help me understand this clearly. Show me what You want me to learn, which is why you can read the same passage many, many times, and something, you know, God speaks to you differently about that, because the Holy Spirit in you is really working on a certain area of your life. So the Spirit in us does give us direction. But the question is, okay, how do we recognize that? What's the difference between that and what somebody might call a gut feel? You ever hear anybody say, you know, I just feel in my gut that I need to do this? And as believers, we have something similar to that, but it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can guide us with this sense of internal peace, or just kind of a, you know, I really sense that this is the way I need to go. But whenever we are feeling like that's the case, we're feeling like the Holy Spirit is leading us in a certain direction, we need to check that against what Scripture says so that we can know. Because if it contradicts it, then we know that's not God speaking to us. But the way we learn to recognize that voice is to listen to Him as much as we possibly can. In the book of John, it's really interesting. It's describing God the Son, Jesus. At the beginning of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It's really interesting that Jesus is referred to as the Word. He was the living Word. He has given us the written Word. The Holy Spirit helps us understand that. So really what we're talking about here is we're talking about learning to recognize the voice of Jesus. And John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. My sheep listen to my voice. See, that's all based on relationship. He's the shepherd. His sheep listen to His voice. I came across a 90-second video that was really cool that illustrates this point. What you're about to see is some strangers trying to call to some sheep, followed by the farmer or the shepherd using his voice, and you'll see how they respond quite differently. Let's take a look at this video.
One more time.
Tick 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 t I love this.
Look at them, look at them.
That's amazing.
Isn't that amazing?
They're coming. Oh my God.
Pretty cool image, huh? When the sheep hear their shepherd's voice, they respond. Now, in that same chapter in John chapter 10, just a little bit before this verse, it says, Jesus said that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The way we become his sheep is by believing or trusting in the good shepherd. Jesus gave his life for us. That's why he came to earth in the first place, to become a sacrifice for our sins. See, we are separated from God. There's a gap between us and God that we cannot cross, but Jesus came to bridge that gap. He died to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And I want you to know that you can find that forgiveness today. If you haven't come to a point of saying yes to Christ, I want to trust you, I believe that you died for me, I'm going to give my heart to you. That's how you become one of his sheep. And when you become one of his sheep, you start to learn to recognize his voice. So we have to listen. We have to spend time. We have to pay attention to recognize his voice. And we also need to remember that his voice is usually not going to be the loudest one in the room. In fact, the Bible tells us that God often speaks in a still small voice. And that's why it's so important to learn to pay attention so that we can recognize his voice. Now, with that in mind, second thing I want to encourage us to do is to create the best environments to hear God's voice. Samuel lives in the temple. So he has a bit of an advantage here, right? I mean, it says that he's in the house of the Lord. In fact, it says that he is with the ark of God. The ark is the power of God, the presence of God. I mean, he is right there with God, dwelling in the temple, and so God speaks, and the environment, I mean, is perfect. It's late at night, you know, the chores are done, and it's quiet, and God speaks to him, and he finally recognizes who it is. We don't live in the temple, but you know, the Bible says that we actually are a temple, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Going back to what we said before, that Holy Spirit inside of us, that when we trust in Christ, we make that decision we talked about earlier to say, yes, Jesus, I'm confessing I'm sinful, I'm putting my trust in you, then we are marked or sealed in him with the Holy Spirit. So the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of us, and he speaks to us. So we need to create those environments where we can hear his voice. Let me just get really practical and talk about a few things that we can do to help us create the best environment to hear from God, starting with eliminating distractions. We need to eliminate distractions as much as possible. Now, we can't totally do this, and I get this, but be intentional about it. Here's a little hack from my life that really worked well, especially years ago when our kids were younger and kids were living at home and that kind of thing. I would always get up before anybody else because the house is quiet, and that's a time to spend time with God. I mean, even if those of you that are in the midst of chaos and whatever, even if it's 5 minutes a day, or students, you're like, man, I can barely get up to get to school the way it is. I mean, even if you just 5 minutes, start with that and build from there. You know, I'm going to start my day by just being quiet with God and listening and praying. Maybe open my scripture, ask God to speak to me. Or maybe if you're more of a night owl, maybe that means that you spend time with God after everyone goes to bed and things are quiet there. But figure out when you're at your best, when you can really be intentional about listening to God. And then another way to eliminate distractions, we have a really big distraction that we carry around with us wherever we go, right? These things are a big distraction. Figure out a way to eliminate that. Maybe it's just leaving the phone in another room entirely. when you want to be with God. If you're like, well, I just, you know, I use my phone, that's what I do. Well, okay, at the very least, put it on do not disturb so you're not going to see when a text message comes through or email pops up. But, you know, just get those things out of the way as much as possible. And then, speaking of silencing some of the noise and the distraction, let me just ask you this. How much time do you spend in silence? Most people are really uncomfortable with silence. When we're in the car, you know, there's probably music playing or you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook or something. I mean, when you're in the car, do you take advantage of that time? Just be quiet. Just have some quiet time before God and say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. When you're at home, do you always have your TV running in the background or the radio on all the time? But why are we so uncomfortable with just silence at times, you know, so that we can hear from God and be intentional about that? We need to turn the noise down and maybe at times turn it off. Now, speaking of that, here's a really practical way for us to turn the noise down. There is a lot of noise going on around us at this time of year in our country, right? With an election coming up. There's a lot of noise. I don't know if anybody is as completely sick of the commercials as I am, and I don't know how I got on somebody's text stream, but I'm constantly putting stop into my phone, but driving me nuts. But there's a lot of noise out there, right? And here's the thing. It doesn't matter which side you're on. Your side is telling you if things don't go your way in this election, it's the end of the world, right? And that's the message that we're hearing. Now, please understand, I'm not discounting the importance of letting our voice be heard. We need to do that. Now, I voted yesterday. If you haven't voted, please do. And vote based on biblical convictions. Get involved. We need to be involved. I don't want to discount that in any way. But let me also remind you that as believers, we are not electing a king. We already have one. And he will continue to reign regardless of who's elected. So take a breath. Maybe turn some of that noise down. I mean, if you've constantly got the news feeds or, you know, the news stations, it's constantly you're got going on your TV at home or you're listening on the radio. Let me just ask you, is that making it easier to hear from God or more difficult? Is it bringing more peace into your life or is it robbing you of peace? Be honest about those questions. Sometimes we need to turn the noise down a little bit. Say, Lord, I just want to hear from you. Eliminate distractions as much as possible. Here's another thing we can do, and that is to do what we can to create appropriate physical environments to hear from God. I mean, location sometimes matters. The environment, if you have a place, you know, a special place that you like to meet with God, that can be meaningful. But think about that. Does this inspire worship? Or are there lots of distractions going on around me that can pull my attention in different directions, but create the best environment possible? And another thing I see in this passage, of course, Samuel got to do that because he was in the temple of God, so he had it going there. But when God's voice spoke to him, he didn't understand. He went to Eli. And the way he learns to recognize this is the voice of God is by going to a mentor, going to somebody else that can help him understand God's voice. So here's another suggestion for you, and that is connect deeply with other believers. The more we connect deeply with other believers who are listening for God's voice and understand how to recognize God's voice, then we kind of learn from them, right? And it helps to foster that in us as well. So if you're not in a connect group or a women's Bible study or a men's Bible study or something like that where you are connecting deeply with others, do that. That's a huge priority. And then when we come together, like doing what we're doing right now, I think you understand this isn't the only place you can hear from God, right? If it's the only place you're seeking to hear from God, you're missing out. That's kind of like eating once a week. You know, tell me how that turns out if you eat once a week. We need to feed ourselves daily, but there is something special about being together with God's people where I believe God speaks to us in some unique ways. I know that's the case for me. I don't get to be on the other end of it very often, but I do get to do that, you know, go to conferences and other things like that. And it seems like in those corporate settings that, man, God just really does something special when we come together. And so I would encourage you in that when you come to church each week, that you're coming praying the prayer that Samuel was instructed to pray, and that is, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You come asking God to speak to you, he will. He absolutely will. And we can expect that and prepare ourselves for that. I read something recently about, there's kind of a thing in the business world that how to maintain proper rhythms, and people talk about diverting daily, withdrawing weekly, and abandoning annually. Maybe you've heard that before. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. I like the daily, weekly, and annual rhythms for our spiritual life as well. I might phrase it a little bit different. I would say that we need to withdraw daily, fellowship weekly, and retreat annually. I mean, withdraw to spend time with God every day, come together with God's people every week. But then I would encourage you once a year, build in something where you can get away and meet with God. I mean, maybe that is a conference or something structured, or maybe it's just like a vacation, but where you're very intentional during that time of, God, I'm asking you to speak to me, and I'm preparing myself in advance for God to speak to me as we have this time together. All right, well, we're running out of time, so let me move on to the last one real quick. And let's talk about what we do once we do hear from God. And that is, guys, we have to act on what God says. We have to act on what God says. In this passage, God gives a very specific message to Samuel that he is then to pass on to Eli. Can you imagine? Again, we don't know exactly how old he was, but it says he was a boy. Can you imagine the responsibility or the weight of a young boy being given the message? And the message was this to Eli, that your sons are going to die because you did not restrain them. Eli was the ultimate passive parent. His kids are blaspheming God. They're just running amok, and he doesn't do a darn thing about it. And he's held accountable because of his position. I mean, all of us are held accountable, but especially as the priest, that's not good. And so God delivers this message to Samuel that he in turn is going to pass on to Eli. Now, we didn't read the rest of the chapter, but Eli comes to Samuel, as you might imagine. Can you imagine his curiosity when he realized God was speaking to young Samuel? Eli wants to know, what did he say? And he comes to Samuel, and he basically threatens him. And he says to him, you better tell me everything God said. I think Eli knows deep down that it's not going to be a particularly positive message. But he says, tell me the truth. I want you to tell me exactly what God said. And Samuel has a decision to make. Is he going to act on what God said? And the answer is yes, he does. He tells Eli everything that God said. I just want to end today with this reminder. Listening to God does no good if you don't act on what he says. It doesn't do any good. In James 1, verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Guys, if we're just listening for God and trying to hear his voice, but we don't do anything with what he says, we're deceiving ourselves. We're not doing anything. There's no benefit in that. When we hear from God, and we do need to seek to hear from God, we need to act on what we hear. So what does that look like for you today, right now? Is God speaking to anybody about anything? Is God saying to somebody, I want you to give your heart to me today. I've given my life for you. I gave my son for you. I'm asking you to trust me. Give me your heart. Many of you have already made that decision, but God is speaking to you about something else. Maybe you've been praying about something, and God has just really given you a moment of clarity today, and you know a next step. There's somebody you need to talk to share your faith with, or there's a relationship that needs to be mended, or there's a step within the church. It's like, I need to join here. I need to stop being a spectator and get involved and serve and connect with other people and give and just, you know, be a part of what God is doing. But what is that for you? What is the next step that God is leading you to take? And I just want to ask you, are you going to do anything about it? Are you going to respond? And we want to invite you to do that right now. Just respond in faith to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. Let's pray together. Lord, give us wisdom to hear your voice right now. Give us courage to act in obedience to what you say, Lord, because we trust you. We know, Lord, that you are good, and so help us to follow you just with abandon today and not hold anything back. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.